It's Thursday, February 9th, 2012, and you're listening to episode 257 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 41 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
My name is Chad.
This is Wayne.
This is Johan.
My name is Pat.
And this is Chris.
And this is Chris.
Man, we got a full house tonight.
We do have a full house. We got, what, six people total?
Well, somebody was like, oh, Fear the Boot's pod fading. Oh, my God. They've put anything on wigs. It's like, yeah, no, we're not.
It does feel good to be back on the mics. This is actually my first time recording in over a month, because even those last couple of episodes that I was on were recorded prior to me disappearing for a while.
So. Dan's got to make that cheddar is what happened.
That's right. I got to break me off a stack. So it feels good to be back.
Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. And it also feels good to have a week off ahead of me. And my company has also said that they will give me another week off and pay to fly me to a place of my choice. So I am contemplating Orlando right
Cleveland,
now.
Ohio.
Yes.
Tibet.
Detroit.
Smithers, British Columbia.
Minnesota.
Hey, that's not a bad choice.
Waterloo, Iowa.
There you go. Come on in. You may have to take a prop plane in, though, when you get in.
they dust some crops as they come in, too.
That's right. Yeah, be getting close to seeding time. Before we move on, Chad, I told you in the back rooms that when we get back on the mics on Tuesday, I was going to do something for you. And that was last Tuesday, but you weren't there. So no. Now that we're here, I just wanted to just confess my love for you as one male podcast host can love another male podcast host.
That's awesome. You
from so another old. State.
Yes. From another state.
That was beautifully from another said, state. Chris.
From a distance. Yes.
Chris, you're touching me.
And poetic.
Inappropriately.
Yes.
No, Chris, I
would
love
there
you
be
too.
Any other way? Would there be any other way to touch you,
no,
Chad?
No.
I'm as cheery-eyed as I am Arab, so yeah. Moving on.
Chris said something inappropriate to me, and he's apologizing for it, and I accept his apology. I love him very much.
What inappropriate thing did he
call
say?
Me
Well, no, it wasn't inappropriate. I was trying to use it as an example to explain.
He called me. He said, Chad, you have to realize you're kind of an asshole. And then
I did.
He spent like four or five paragraphs explaining how he's not really calling me an asshole. And then he spent three or four posts after that apologizing for calling me an asshole.
You know how to make any comment the most offensive you possibly can?
How?
Lead off with the following phrase. No offense, but.
With all due respect.
Yeah.
With all due respect.
I hope this doesn't hurt your feelings. Promise me you won't get mad.
So, yes. Chad, are you saying you're actually a real person with feelings?
No. Not at all. No. No.
Good, because my whole world would have been shaken up if I thought that.
Yes.
All right. Let's see. Three announcements real quick. First off.
Chad's
okay.
That's not an announcement. That's
established canon.
Yeah. It's in Wikipedia.
This is a podcast. I mean, there's certain things we don't announce. They're just presupposed when we record.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the announcements. First off, I would like to give a thanks to Tracy Hurley, who is over there at Wizards of the Coast.
Oh, that was awesome.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
She is a college someone. I hope this is a she. But we have a history finding
I've
out.
I've been fooled in the past.
Yes. By Tracy's, yes.
Yeah, we've been fooled by too many Tracy's involved with D&D. But Tracy Hurley, who is a columnist over at Wizards of the Coast, did a column on gamer resolutions and actually mentioned an episode of ours under introducing new people to the hobby. And so I would like to give a shout out back to that columnist, and I will link to her column.
Or his.
We will link to she's column.
I will link to that
column.
I will link to their column.
Yes.
And it is, seriously, even the plug about us aside, it is a good article. So I would recommend going over there, checking it out, giving it a spin. And I will link that off the show notes so you guys can go over there and check out what they write about.
What has been written.
Tracy, please email us, dan@fearthebrute.com. Just male or female.
What are you?
Try Chad at fearthebrute.com because it'll actually get read.
Yeah, after Tracy true. Hickman, we're just so afraid to love again.
I am 90% certain there was a female pronoun at the bottom of the page.
We all remember the Funky Co Medina song, and we just had that experience with Mr. Hickman. Secondly, at Fear the Con, Chris Ings, Foxfang on the forums, has approached me about doing something pretty cool. I like this. I'm going to be involved in this. Mm. What he's looking for is he's putting together, I think it's 16 people, and he wants to do a clan Bloodrite tournament. Okay, now for anyone who has no idea what the hell a clan Bloodrite tournament is.
What's a clan, Dan? Yeah.
Well, it's these people that wear these things that look kind of like penitent robes. Make sure their crosses are visible from a distance by lighting them up. No.
Well, yes, but at the con, it's something different. This is Missouri, by the way.
What we're referring to is in Battletech, there is a series of factions known as the clans. And the clans are selectively bred, and they have these contests where you may be born under a certain surname, but you're not allowed to claim that surname until you have proven you are the best of the best of warriors, at which point you actually are allowed to call yourself by two names. You have a first and last name. And that last name also gives you the right to contribute your genetic material to the next generation of soldiers, thus by creating better and better soldiers. And somehow this just doesn't take into account genetic inbreeding, which I actually had a debate by proxy with Stackpole or his dad or something like this over this a while back. But anywho, what Chris is going to do is he's going to take 16 people and basically run a Bloodrite tournament where it's going to be a single elimination series of tournaments leading down to one person. And I have given him full Fear the Boot rights to do this. Whoever wins this tournament will now carry the blood name Von Badass.
That is awesome.
And so I don't know what
if this person is on the forums, I will allow them to change their username to Von Badass, and I will grant them a custom forum title of their choice.
And you know what? I don't know even what clan we are yet. We're going to have to work on that. I don't know what clan we are, but
Clan Boot.
You know, we need something more clever.
Jade
than
Boot,
that.
Like Obsidian Boot.
Yeah, it needs to be a two-name clan.
The Color Animal Clan.
Yes.
We are Clan Color Animal. No, that's not working. No. All right. No.
I like Obsidian Boot.
We'll work on it.
All right. Obsidian Boot.
We'll work on that. But anyway, he's going to try to get through all of the rounds in one slot if that doesn't work. One of the things we're hoping to do at Fear the Con 5 is just as we have the pre-con party at Cyborgs, we would like to have an after-con event on Saturday night to basically keep the momentum going so people don't just kind of, you know, leave around 11 with this sort of dangling momentum. Mm-hmm. And if we are not able to finish the Bloodrite tournament there, the final battle, the last round, the tiebreaker, will occur at the after party. So that is going to be on there. I believe we are looking at slot 3 for this. I am definitely going to be taking one of the seats. And you know what? Even if that event gets filled up, a lot of great games going up at Fear the Con. We'd love to see you there. We'd love to see you at all the pre-con events the first week of May, the basically Sunday through Thursday leading up to the con. Then the wing night, the con on Friday and Saturday, and the party on into Sunday morning. And then Sunday, everyone goes home and wishes they were dead. Can't wait for Fear the Con coming up top of May, fearthecon.com. The third and final announcement is working with the, I'd say president of the Fear the Boot fan club, but actually this is more like a kangaroo court selected despot. And I think he's okay with that fact. I can't even pretend to pronounce his full name.
Azray Vep
is the proper way of pronouncing it. With his help, we have selected the next Power 16.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'm going to announce the contestants, and I'm going to tell you what the schedule is.
Holy shit! Power 16.
The third Power 16.
The people are pumped.
The Shadowrun and Rifts Leagues, after a bunch of contract negotiations, have merged into the Shadow Rifts Leagues.
Wow.
Yes.
That is a whole lot
and
of bad right there.
That is shattering.
The child of Kevin Sambita and Don Shadowrun is running, just call him abortion, is running this league. The Shadow Rifts League has the following 8 persons or ideas that are coming to this game to find out who is the most powerful trope in Fear the Boot. Dan's Free Candy Van, Master Three Balls, the Pat Soundboard, Boots the...
There it is.
Hey, no soliciting at the polling place.
Sorry, I'll quit pushing the buttons.
Boots the Pegasus. Battletech. Not anything particular, just Battletech. Episode 200. I don't even know what icon to use to represent it.
Nothing.
It's going to be a no show.
Don't worry. We'll get to the icon soon.
We'll have it ready by the end of the year.
Don't worry.
The icon for episode 200.
We'll get you this icon in time.
It'll just be a transparent gift.
Yes. Yeah.
So whoever goes up against it just gets to go on ahead because it no showed, right?
Yeah. Uncle Flo, Fear the Boots monthly visitor.
Who's that?
Gnarlgate. Then we have, within a more fan-centered group, the Bear League. The Bear League is a group of people that was started by several folks who use bears as their either forum avatars or forum usernames.
Or look like a bear, or are in fact bears who are fans of Fear the Boots.
Yes, and
actual bears.
They started a kind of mutual support group for people that were going through a rough time. It was a really cool thing.
It was.
But they called it the Bear League. So the Bear League is coming up against Don Shadowrun and Kevin Sambita's child. And they are bringing the following eight to the table.
Sambita or Sambieta?
I've heard both. I don't know if it's
Symbiato.
Symbiote.
A symbiote.
Symbiosis.
Yeah, he's going to be at a convention.
Simbueno.
Winner.
Simbueno.
Yes.
And Don Shadowrun and Kevin Simbueno.
I think it's just symbiote, actually, is what it is.
All right. They have brought the following eight contestants: Stanley L. Jackson, Bob Arens, Time Cube AI, The Seasons Game.
God, I love that game.
We know.
I mean.
Wait. I don't know if I've heard of this one.
Well, I got this great story. It's called Fear the Boot, episode 1 through 150.
Grandma Nazi, Bill Cosby.
No.
The Cause.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. The Princess Party, John GM Bot, and Aaron Stack's Petty Little Victories.
Awesome.
The question that you guys have to decide, the most important vote you will place in 2012.
That's right.
It's what is the most important trope on Fear the Boot? There may be other elections.
Unimportant.
They don't matter, okay?
Do these elections, that is not the Power 16, is that going to decide the fate of millions in the course of history?
No.
I think not.
The nuclear football goes to whoever wins the Power 16.
That's right.
Right now, Julie Hussey has it, and we are fortunate that really all she's interested in is making tasty desserts and not nuking everybody.
Yes.
But the question is, what do you want to represent? The sum of gaming. Mm. You know, look, there may only be five people listening to Fear the Boot, but we are gaming. I mean,
that's right.
We are like the majestic 12 of gaming, except there's not 12 of us and we aren't majestic. But damn it.
We got mentioned in an article, so we're obviously very important.
Yeah. Wizards of the Coast has knelt to us.
yeah, totally.
It's like Wikipedia citing you as a reference.
Yes. And then subsequently erasing your article.
All right, so the schedule we're going to do is the first round of voting, the first set of 16, so it'll be eight pairings, will run March 7th through March 20th, with winners announced on March 21st. Next round is the 21st through April 3rd, April 4th through April 17th. Final round, the last two, is April 18th through May 5th.
Oh, does that bump into something?
It does. On Friday or Saturday of Fear the Con, I think it is Saturday when we do the live recording, we will announce on May the 5th the winner of Power 16-3, the final one the Mayans may give us.
Mm. Dun, dun, dun.
After the end of the Power 16-3, if the life goes on, we will have to restart the Power 16 long count calendar, and we will start over at Power 16-1.
I honestly believe that the winner of Power 16-3 will save us from the Mayans.
That is entirely possible. And you may be staking your future on that.
I am.
With that all out
15 minutes of announcements. Good job.
It's 15 minutes.
It's less than 20.
It's less than 20.
We're under 20, yeah. I want to set up something that was mentioned in the last episode. And I want to kind of expound on it. And then I'm going to sort of punt over to Johan to explain some of this. One of the things that we have been discussing amongst ourselves is the fact that there is a huge cultural divide between us and
everyone that's not us.
Everybody else.
And we cannot possibly care about all of you.
Oh, no.
And so,
not even a little bit.
There's a huge cultural divide between us and Chris because of the fact that Chris isn't here. Honestly, outside of a few con one-shotters, which some of us haven't even done that, we have never gamed with him. He has never gamed with us.
In fact, I think I think the only person I ever gamed with was Wayne, and that was before I knew who he was. And then Pat last Fear the Con, but that's when we both were players, and that was a one shot. It was a ridiculous one shot because we were doing
with D&D. Me twice, Chris.
Yeah, I gamed with.
I hate you now. Chris, thanks for remembering me. Chris. And Chad was in one of those games.
Yeah. Oh, you were in the Left 4 Dead game?
I'm not counting the Left 4 Dead because that was clearly an exercise in dice rolling.
Your Left 4 Dead game was awesome, Chris. It was great.
And by awesome, you mean a-hole?
What we're going to do to give us some experience gaming with Chris to help build social bonds and also maybe to give us a little more insight in online gaming. Most of the hosts, not all, but most of the hosts are going
to... Not me, because I'm an a-hole.
Pretty much. Are going to be involved in an online Skype and map tool based Pathfinder game, which I will be GMing. John will be kind of helping me with the rules because I know 3.5 really well. I'll admit I don't know Pathfinder that well. And I realize 3.5 is kind of close enough. So
between John and I, we've got you covered. Yeah. We're both very comfortable with Pathfinder.
Right. And that's not a problem. And I may pick up the PDF just to have, plus they have an online SRD and all that crap.
And I'll happily make up any rules that benefit me.
What I would like to do is take something that was actually suggested for the show by Dave from Iron Agenda, which is a unfortunately disappeared podcast, who guessed...
I thought you were going to say it was an unfortunate podcast.
It had Pat on it for a while, but it got better.
Zing! We got all the good talent, at least the potentially good talent. Anyway...
We did have Dave guest star a few times, so we did get the good talent for a while.
Yeah. And what Dave suggested during one of the episodes, and actually did, was he said, you know, you guys talk about a lot of great concepts, but it'd be great to see you guys actually apply some of them in real time. Take a problem and solve it, as opposed to just talking about how you have solved or might solve a problem. So as an exercise in that, what we want to do is we are going to start a new forum area, which I'll link to, if not in this week's show notes, it'll be next week's. Which will be read-only to everyone but us, will be publicly available, where we are going to post everything about the game. Everybody's character write-ups, player to GM discussions. If they try to email me stuff or take it to one of our backroom forums, I'm going to make them put it back out in the public area. And what I want to show you guys is how we are putting this game together from the ground up. Now, all we know so far, and I'll keep this brief, is it's a Pathfinder game, set in Forgotten Realms prior to the Time of Trouble. I have the exact year. I think it's like 1357 Dale Reckoning for those of you. I'll post the exact date for those of you who are really big FR nerds. It will take place in a fictional keep that exists right across the road from the Standing Stone, near where the two trade roads cross north of Sembia, and is basically a Sembian outpost and projection of power into the Dales.
Are you saying this keep is fictional, Dan? I thought this was a real keep that we were playing
in. I apologize if this has destroyed your immersion.
Chad, are we going to be the Sembia Liberation Army?
I don't think
Chris
and I can play anymore.
Chad, would you please give me a name for Stone Keep? So, the group template is that it's going to center around Stone Keep, and these guys have given me character concepts, which I'm going to make them repeat in this public forum. However, here we get to the punchline. We want to solve some of these problems in real time, all right? So in that forum, we'll talk about the group template and the character backgrounds and some of the things we've gone through. And I'll try to repost some stuff that we discussed previously to catch you guys up on how we got to where we are. But, Johan, the where I'm punting it to you is you had a question about your character, and you said that your decision about your character concept was going to be based upon how I answered something about how this game was going to be run. Now, I have not heard this question.
Right.
So would you do me a favor, and for the sake of the listeners, give a brief elevator pitch of your character, and then ask me your question, and I will walk through the answer, and we will address this issue or solve this problem or whatever we need to do right here live on the mic. So please go ahead.
Sure. Well, the brief elevator pitch for my character is that he is a nature-loving hippie.
I can identify a couple of problems right there.
Right? Oh, yeah? He is the trainer of the hounds and the falcons for the Baron, I believe it is, of the keep.
There's the Baron of the keep.
That's how he makes his living. Like I said, he is very much a D&D hippie is the real character concept behind him. The point that I'm at right here is choosing how to mechanically represent my hippie within the rules of Pathfinder. There's several different ways I can go about doing it. And I know I am much more gamist in my approach to this thing or this type of thing than pretty much anybody else in this game, I believe. That was actually one of the reasons I thought it might be interesting to discuss this on the mic.
I don't know that that's true.
Oh, well, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Right.
Actually, we've never gamed with you.
Right.
But I don't think that's true, but go on.
Okay. Well, really what it amounts to is, as far as the question goes, I'm wondering if there's going to be an advancement mechanic within the game, if this is going to start at level 1, go to level 10, if this is going to start at level 5, stay at level 5, because the way I will build my character will depend on whether he will be static at that point.
Before we get to your question that you asked me about advancement, I have a separate question for you about the elevator pitch on your character.
Sure.
Just because I'm trying to reconcile something myself, which is, I believe you said in your write-up, he is a follower of Malar.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, for anyone not familiar with Forgotten Realms, Malar is a nature god of sorts. But he is not the tree-hugging, happy type.
That's exactly
he is the god of the beasts, the hunt. What comes to mind is a Tennyson quote, which is nature red in tooth and claw. That's his thing. In fact, his alignment is chaotic evil. Now, I don't think his followers have a broader spectrum of alignments they can be.
Yeah.
But his gist is kind of a kill the prey, consume the prey, almost might makes right. How are you reconciling that, A, to nature loving
hippie?
Yes. Yeah. And B, the bigger, more important question I have, because the first one's intellectual curiosity. This is a group template one. I do not want a character who in the long run is not going to play ball with the party, which obviously is a social organization, particularly when, from what I know of the other characters, not only do you have a party of characters to fit into, but these characters are generally pretty loyal to the Symbian establishment, mm-hmm. which means they are probably going to go with where law and culture are going, mm-hmm. which I'm having trouble drawing the line here between Malar and cultured society. So, first of all, can you help me with how you fit into the group?
Yes.
Because I want to make sure you don't have a group template breakdown already.
Absolutely. And that's a very valid question. And in fact, one of the reasons I wanted to go with this is I thought that it would be an interesting concept to chase, because I've never seen a non-evil Malar follower played out, even though they do exist within the setting.
Yes.
So I thought that would be interesting to do. The way I'm going about it, justifying it within my own head, is taking a page from modern day dirty hippies. And I'm going to have to dance around this point a little bit, I think. But you'll find within modern-day dirty hippiedom a certain sect of people who like to venerate certain mythologies without really accepting all of it.
I don't think
that's just understanding.
It's not just dirty hippies.
Yeah, I think that's the sum of followers of any worldview.
Yeah, and you know, you see a lot of people talking about gods like Carnunos or Kali, and they've really just cleaned them up into a happy-go-lucky. And
right.
Really what I'm basing his view on is a lot of viewpoints I've read on Carnunos, who is, for those unfamiliar, he's a Celtic deity, very kind of similar to Malar, very much a god of the hunt, very much chase down the prey, tear him to bits. He is the origin of the Wild Hunt stories, which a lot of people are more familiar with than they are with the name Carnunos.
Only because they were in Dresden Files.
They've or been in lots of other things, too. Shadowrun and all sorts of stuff. But he's really been cleaned up a lot in the minds of a lot of people these days into very much a, oh, he's just a god of the woods. That's kind of the approach I'm taking from it. My character is a follower of Malar, but only in the vaguest sense. He's taken the idea of Malar and cleaned him up into a socially acceptable version.
Sure.
Because where, yes, he's a god of the hunt, but everybody hunts. Yeah. I mean, we hunting, have to hunt.
Hunting mm-hmm. feeds society. Hunting mm-hmm. is also sport amongst the noblemen.
And that is something that also exists within the setting of Forgotten Realms, because in at least, I think, some of the more modern Forgotten Realms stuff, various cults of Malar exist that for feast days, they go out, they hunt a bunch, and then they feed poor people with their kills.
Right.
And so that's part
which
of
is
how
obviously not terribly chaotic evil.
It's not. Right.
Right.
So that's kind of the concept behind it. And the way I envisioned him as integrating well with the group is taking the concept of the hunter and the predator.
Right.
He sees himself as part of a pack, And the other characters are also part
of
that.
And I'll tell you, as a game master, and this is for, I suppose, the sake of the listeners who are trying to kind of open this process up to, what is going on in my mind as a GM, what I already see is, here's a guy who is following, for lack of a better allegory, he's following selective passage of the Bible.
Yes.
And as a result, this already creates some great opportunities that the more faithful, the more knowledgeable, etc., within the Order of Malar may very well challenge you, despise you, debate you, who knows what. But here's something great I can take advantage of throughout the plot, which is the fact that you follow a selective theology.
Right.
So I see a great opportunity there. But nonetheless, the fact that he is selective does answer my question of how he fits into the group.
I wanted to ask you too, Dan, you know, now that you've had a chance to, at least at the very least, kind of skim some of the concepts, as a GM, how are you feeling about what you've seen so far? Are you seeing that this can work? Is this something that, you know, are you seeing trouble with some of this? You know, I mean, what is your first blush from what you've looked at?
Admitting that I have not, because of work that which just ended, been able to read through your backgrounds in detail. So I've only skimmed them. Now, I will fix that between now and the next episode, because I have the next week off, starting after tomorrow, which would be Wednesday's demo. I will have a week off. But what I can tell you at this point, admitting some degree of ignorance, is that when you guys first gave me the elevator pitches on these characters, they did sound very scattered. They were coming from some really diverse backgrounds. Chris, you wanted to play a half-elven barbarian, and you wanted to keep the rage
mechanic. A female half-elven barbarian.
And the female honestly bothered me less than the barbarian part did. Yet John's playing someone who's from Sembia in a more official role, and Wayne's playing the blacksmith. And I won't go into all the details. We'll just post it in the forums. But as you guys developed the characters, you actually started building workable reasons how you know each other, why you care about each other, why you're working towards the same goals, why when something happens to this keep, you'll care, why when the going gets tough, you're not going to split up and go your own directions. You guys really did a great job explaining how such a diverse group of people formed one team.
Except for Pat.
And, well, with Pat, I just don't have a concept for his character yet, so I have no comment either way. All right, so Johan, now backing up to your question. It is a great question to ask, because obviously if you are basing a character or some part of the character, and it's fine being a little bit gamist. That doesn't bother me unless that stops role playing, or, you know, which it doesn't need to. I think the two can coexist wonderfully. It's good to know where I'm headed with this. Otherwise, you may end up with the character you didn't want.
Right? Well, and the other thing is, if he wants to multi-class and we're never getting past level one,
precisely,
that's off the table.
All right. So to answer your question, the intention that I have is to tell a story that I would describe as follows. The world right now is sitting sort of on a precipice they don't fully understand. A lot of things are about to change. There are a lot of powers at work. And if you guys were gone, there's a certain way this would work itself out. But you guys are going to be in a very unique position. I don't want to use the tired cliche of the snowflake that decides which way the avalanche falls, because it's really not true. Your role is going to be more powerful than that of a snowflake. But nonetheless, you may be the boulder that decides which way this avalanche falls.
Will we, by chance, throw a ring into a volcano?
No. There is no single MacGuffin that will solve this plot line. There's no single...
Will they throw a volcano into a ring?
Yes.
Ooh.
That will happen. But to answer your question, the story I want to tell within that backdrop is I want to tell, really, the full story of the lives of these characters. I do not want to pick up your lives midway through this chapter of your life. As a result, I am starting you at level one. Mm-hmm. There's an old axiom that there's a such thing as level one characters and no such thing as level one adventures. I don't believe it. I've run level one games, and I will demonstrate this to both the world and to myself yet again by successfully running a level one game where I don't have to pull the punches to make it work. The second thing that I will tell you is, because the fact that I want to pick up really when you guys are beginning this phase of your careers, not the next adventure, but I mean, you may be starting adventuring, so to speak, for the very first time. If this plays out in its full run and we don't kill the campaign earlier or whatever, by the time the game ends, you guys will have reached a significant level. You will be somewhere in the 15, 18, maybe even 20 range. So yeah. You will be well up there in level. So expect a slow but steady progression. You will have plenty of opportunity to advance your character. So with that said, I want you now to tell me, what did you have in mind for your characters and why was level important?
Well,
because this will help me understand what I need to do to facilitate what you want out of your character.
Sure. The biggest concern that I had is the character is, in my head, a druid. And that doesn't necessarily mean he is of the druid class. That just means that he has the characteristics of a druid.
Right.
That could easily mean that he's a ranger, it could mean he's a druid, it could mean he's a cleric, it could mean he's a sorcerer that just happens to be nature-loving. Any one of those can be a druid within my head and play out as one in the game. However, as I envision him right now entering in at first level, the skill set that I think he would bring into what he's doing is more suited to a rogue than it is to anything else. And a rogue is not a druid. You know, there's no spell casting, there's no shape changing, there's no animal companion. There's none of the things that kind of roll into that druidic frame, and I'm fine with that if it's an introductory phase to the character.
Question on that, though, why, and not this is a huge deal, I'm just curious mm-hmm. what your thinking is, given the fact that at least in 3.5 they didn't get spells at first level, why not a ranger then? Because a ranger would
because of the skills, really.
You want the skill points, okay.
Yeah, and I don't have to have it. This isn't like a min-max thing where I'm trying to eke the most out of my character.
Right.
Most of what I'm actually wanting is fluff background stuff. You know, I'd like for him to roll in with points in profession trade broker, because part of his backstory is that he escaped from his family's bourgeois trade brokering lifestyle to go out and find his own way in the woods, but he still has that skill set. It's a totally wasted set of skill points, but it's a totally wasted set of skill points that I can't afford to waste if I'm a druid, is what it amounts to.
True.
If I come in with a level of rogue, that gives a lot of skill points. I can toss them around on fluff stuff, and then I can roll them into something else later on.
Makes me wonder how many more skill points a rogue has versus a ranger, because a ranger gets quite a few to begin with.
It might have changed. I think they had an extra, I think they had double in 3.5.
I know in 3 and 3.5 it was significant, but yeah. I don't know in Pathfinder. Once again, I'm just going to admit an ignorance at this point of the rules. Hopefully by the time we get a couple games into the campaign, because, you know, I like to think of myself as a fairly teachable person, I'll know Pathfinder quite a bit better. But as it sits right now, I'll admit, I just don't know. And that's something I'm looking forward to getting out as a game master, is the opportunity and to learn the system. And I tell you, it will be a little bit interesting because I'm running a system I don't know, but yet I am making myself adhere to the rules. And I realize that may mean I have to learn some things the hard way, because I may take you guys to the mat unintentionally, or I may have this big boss fight that's a freaking joke because, once again, I just didn't get the rules. I just didn't know you could do this or that. But I figure that's a good way to learn it. And, of course, I do have a little bit of a head start, because per even Eric Mona's own words, Pathfinder is D&D 3.75. It's not like this is the first time I've ever touched anything like the system. I have some background in it. But I am going to be interested to see as a game master, and I might write some posts on this in that forum, about what it is like to run a game where I don't know the rules. And yet I am
welcome to my world.
Well, here's the difference. I care.
You are no longer on my world.
But that's the difference, is that as I care about the rules, I will make myself beholden to the rules, but yet I don't know them. Chris, what's your take on all this?
You know, I'm looking forward to it. Actually, I have to say I'm surprised at what you're saying in regards to, you know, the final outcome level wise. I mean, I didn't expect it to be something that would be that long. I mean, to me, that indicates, you know, years. A good year or two.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Yes. When I heard that and that high up, I'm thinking
the previous
two,
time
3 years.
The previous time I successfully completed this campaign, it did take somewhere between 12 and 24 months to do. And that was with a weekly game. It took between 12 and 24 months.
That whole thing surprises me. And certainly, you know, not against it. And I'm looking forward to the challenge of seeing it be maintained. I think more than anything, I liked seeing what I saw in the development of everybody's relationship and characters. And I'm happy with my concept. I'm curious about, and I like everybody else's. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm thinking it's going to be pretty fun. I think what I'm probably looking forward to most is, you know, seeing how this goes, because like you said at the very beginning of this, is that This is all something that we really have never done. We've talked about it all the time. We've given all kinds of examples of how things go. And I've heard your guys' stories. You've heard my stories. But we've never actually done something that is sustainable where we can really actually see and interact with what those gaming personalities are like. And that, more than anything, I think I'm looking forward to.
And that's something that I would love to see all of us write a little bit on, is that effectively there's three cultures coming together here. You have Wayne, Pat, John, and me as one, so to speak. I mean, not that we're all identical, but we come from a shared culture. You have Johan coming in from the outside, and you have Chris coming in from the outside. I would love to be able to write up what we find out about those clashes, what surprised us, what didn't surprise us, and how we have to adjust what we expect from a game to fit the new culture that emerges from this. Because one of the goals I have is, even though the four of us represent the largest block of the six, I don't want this to be our game with Johan and Chris tagging along to our culture. And that's going to be something very hard not to do, even unintentionally.
That's the interesting part about it, is because when I sit down at a table, I'm confident in the character that I've got. With any group that I've ever sat down in, I know how I'm going to go ahead and, you know, forge ahead with this character. As far as the role-playing aspect goes, I don't really know how Pat role-plays. I have an inkling about how Wayne does it. I really don't know how you do NPCs. I have no clue as to how that goes. And so it's going to be with the kind of feedback. And the same is true for Johan. I don't really know what that's like. And so to see how you guys respond to the way I come at it is going to be very interesting. Because I don't know if that'll really alter my behavior or not.
Well, also, everyone will be at least slightly altered because it's a Skype game. Yes. I play in Skype games. You behave differently in a Skype game than you do a regular one, just by nature of you're not sitting around the table with the other people. And you're not seeing the cues.
That is something that we, for the sake of keeping everyone on the same footing, have decided to enforce, which is everyone plays on Skype with Map Tool. No two people, even the St. Louis people, may be in the same place at the same time, because we want everyone to be at the same disadvantage, such that it's not like, oh yeah, well, four of us are at Pat's place and see each other and the gestures and the note passing and whatever, and Chris and Johan are stuck watching over Skype. We don't want that. Really, what I have to say to you guys as an audience is, I hope that you will kind of follow us through this little adventure, I suppose both literally and figuratively, because we don't know really where this is going to head, what this is going to turn up, or how this is going to turn out. And I would love for you guys to see what we do with our own stuff in action. But on top of that, while we may have that area read only, I may have a comment section where other people can interact with us, where they can say, wow.
No. Ivory Tower. It's the way to go.
Well, I want the main section to be read only, simply to avoid tangents where we're responding to someone else in the main discussion. But I would love to have a place where people can say, hey, have you guys considered this rule, this approach? We can say, look, we just ran into a huge problem where we don't know how to keep, I don't know, so-and-so's character in the group anymore, and see what people have to say about it. See what questions they have.
Well, I mean, as an example, when Johan gave his reasoning for wanting to start off with the rogue as being skills, I've already got three things I want to talk to him about specifically about that. If this was out in the main forum, you would have everyone doing that if it were open to edit, and then that would be the focus of the conversation,
right?
Not continuing on, in this case, the podcast, in that case, the game.
Right. Ivory Tower. So that's all I'm hearing. That's what the name of this game should be. I will
start this. I will start this forum area soon. It may or may not be with this
Ivory
episode.
Tower on the Borderlands.
Ivory Tower. Anyway, all right. So we do have one other topic we're going to talk about today. Chad, this one was your suggestion. You've been on outside of our prior one.
Yes.
Do you remember what it was?
Something about styles and GMing.
Okay,
and
I will read to you.
I took it and renamed it to make it more relevant. So
I will read to you what Wayne had to say.
Bless hole-ish.
I will read to you what Wayne had to say, and we will chew on this one for, you know, a good 15, 20, whatever minutes.
Oh, yeah, thanks for giving me this big block. Appreciate that.
Well, if it's we go over, then we'll go into the next episode or do a long episode.
Ivory Tower.
All right, so Wayne Quoth.
I think Clan Ivory Tower needs to be the clan name.
Clan Ivory Tower.
I like it.
Yes.
Will we wear white?
in our penitent rows.
Okay.
We are from Missouri.
And walk around the Robin's
Wort. That will be our symbol.
All right. So, Wayne.
So glad I'm not in this game.
The topic that Chad wanted to discuss led into a discussion that was much longer than the 10 or 20 minutes left at the end of the show. So rather than rush it or cut it off, we just let the microphones keep running and ended up recording an entire second episode, which we will drop next week. So be sure to tune in next week to hear that discussion. And until then, have a great week and great games. And we will catch you next time. This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2012. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. Fear the Boot is also a member of the Pulp Gamer Media Network of shows. You can find other great shows in this network at pulpgamer.com.